As we start, moms, we want to honor you today, and sometimes there's some funny things that you do and funny things that you say, and Jimmy Fallon has what he calls mom tweets and mom quotes, and so there were a few of them that I wanted to share with you that I thought were pretty funny, so I hope you like them, but here they are. The first one was this: my mom texted me, Aunt Mary died, LOL. She thought LOL meant lots of love. Anyone else think that? I did for a while. It means laugh out loud in case you didn't know, so don't send that. The second one is this one. When my brother and I would ask who she loved more, my mom would say, I really don't like either one of you. I hope that's none of you kids today. This one. My mom put a picture on Instagram with the caption, I'm the luckiest mom, but crop me out, so it was just a picture of her.
You guys ready?
And then the last one is this. I once got a text from my mom where you're amazing auto-corrected to you're adopted. Be careful. But moms, happy Mother's Day to you. We're glad you're here today. We are thankful for you. And to those who aren't moms yet and yet are wanting to be, we pray for you and with you as you continue to trust God and his plan that is yet to unfold in your life. And today as we open God's word, we want to look at a piece of scripture that I pray will be very important to you out of Proverbs 31 as it talks about a virtuous woman. But as we talk about that, it could be that your ability to hear what God has to say to you or what he wants to say to you today might be tainted by a few things. It could taint how you view God and maybe how you think he sees you. It could taint how maybe you see yourself today as a mom. And maybe some of you carry in some heavy burdens and some things that you've come into this place with as you think about motherhood, or maybe as you looked back on being a mom. Maybe sometimes it's your own guilt or insecurities of what you should be or you should have been or should have done or falling short to what others think you should have been as a mom. And maybe if you were honest today, you live and lead out of fear of what could happen or what might happen in the future that is unknown to you and your children. Instead of living out of a steadfast faith in God and the promise he gave you in his word. I love what Max Lucado says about fear when we allow it to shape our lives. He said this, when fear shapes our lives, safety becomes our God. But then God's word comes along and it offers to us a way to walk in freedom and not let that fear shape us, to live empowered and encouraged lives as we walk with Jesus. It gives us a picture, as the lady spoke earlier on that video, that isn't absent of fear and safety, but rests in the safety and security of our God as we fully put our trust in him. So today, I really pray that moms, especially, you can see yourself as God sees you. And on this Mother's Day, you leave encouraged and refreshed because this world does not function without you. So we are grateful for you. If you're not a mom today, God's word is for you, even though I will direct my talk to the moms. This is for everyone. And as we jump into God's word, before we go to Proverbs 31, I think there is a foundational stone that must be in place for the rest of your life to find its rightful place. And Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, in chapter 1, verse 7, said it this way, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. We live in an age where we have more access and more information than we actually know what to do with. The problem with the more that we have, we don't seem to be living with greater wisdom and understanding. Could it be that what we actually access first and foremost isn't giving us what we need the most? You see, when Solomon says that the foundation of truth is knowledge and understanding, it begins with the fear of the Lord, and only a fool will despise wisdom. What he is saying is this, that once we have knowledge, and once we begin to open God's word and begin to have a relationship with him, that knowledge turns into understanding. And when we begin to trust God at His word through understanding His word, when we put Him in His rightful place, it opens the door to wisdom that comes from God. You see, knowledge is just a collection of facts. Wisdom is the right use of those facts in our lives. Knowledge, it could tell you how a financial system works. Wisdom is when someone takes those finances and properly uses them and makes them work. See, this fear of the Lord is not a cowering or a begging in fear. It is the proper reverence that the creation has for its creator and that the redeemed owes to its redeemer. It is the proper respect and it is the proper honor of God. You see, God should be regarded with reverence, respect, and awe. And when His creation humbly postures themselves before their creator and opens His word, they will begin to understand who He is, and then wisdom will grow as you seek to follow Him. For you see, now you're actually in a position to ask, to call on, and to receive what God wants to teach you. So a woman who walks in the fear of the Lord is a woman who walks humbly before Him daily and relies on Him for everything that she does. As we move to Proverbs chapter 31, King Lemuel, he is the writer of this Proverbs. And in some of your Bibles at the top, it says this, "The sayings of King Lemuel contain this message, which his mother taught him." These are things that mom passed down to the king and that he was preparing as she wanted him to see in the women that would come into his life. This is guidance from a mom to a son. And she counsels him in verse 25, and she says this, "She is clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise. She gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in the household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and they bless her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty will not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise." Verse 25, when you're looking at a woman, it says that she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. So what allows her to be clothed with strength and dignity, you might ask? Well, we believe, as followers of Jesus, that when we accept Christ as our Savior, the power of the Holy Spirit resides in every single one of us. That this power is given to us that we might live a life that stands apart for Jesus Christ. I love the way Francis Chan starts sharing about the Holy Spirit. He says it this way, "The Christian life in all its aspects, intellectual and ethical, devotional and relational, upsurging in worship and outgoing in witness, is supernatural. Only the Spirit can initiate and sustain it." So apart from Him, not only will there be no lively believers and no lively congregations, there will be no believers and congregations at all. And what He was saying to all of us as followers of Jesus, that the power of the Spirit of God releases a strength in us that will not be tamed. And it is the power of the Spirit that's given to you to lead and to care for and to nurture your family in the fear of God. So moms, I want to remind you today, whatever you need, for whatever need you have, God has already given it to you. And He's placed it within you by the power of the Spirit as you handle all that comes your way. God has given you your children, and in His divine sovereignty, He has given them you as their mother, which means that God is with you, and He is for you, and He believed in you before one of their moments came to be. Last week, I was the commencement speaker for my alma mater at Azusa Pacific University, and as I said to the parents as I gave my talk before their kids walked across the stage to receive their diploma, I said, "Parents, many of you have been praying for this moment. Before you even met your kid, you have been praying for them each and every day. But may I remind you that God has been preparing for them since the beginning of time." Psalm 139 verse 16 says it this way, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." See, God has been preparing them for you, but He has prepared you to be their mom. And in his sovereignty, he brings comfort and assurance that every challenge that you face with your children is under the watchful hand of your Heavenly Father. And when you find your identity in him and him alone, you have the ability to call on the Spirit of God to empower you. You have strength and power that will not be tamed. And you can walk in dignity because you are a daughter of the Most High God. Some of our mentors, Dick and Jill Shirk, used to say to us, everything that you are walking through is crossed by the desk of God and had his stamp of approval for you to walk through and trust him and reflect him. And even though right now, moms, you might not see a way out for some of you, whether you see it, acknowledge it, trust it, want it, even like it, God is in it, God is for you, and he is with you. So how do you walk in the Spirit of God? How do you walk empowered not in your humanness, but by the Spirit that dwells in you? Jesus had these words in John chapter 15, and he said it this way, remain in me, and I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in you, in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I want you to leave that up there because his followers in that moment would have understood the agricultural terms and what they were saying. And what he says is, I want you to remain in me. Other translation says, I want you to abide in me. I want you to walk with me. I want you to be in conversation with me. Remain in me as I also remain in you. I am giving you the Holy Spirit to empower you. And I am with you. And then he goes and he says, hey, no branch can bear fruit. We understand fruit. We understand that when you plant seeds, that it takes a while. There's a process and a maturing. And it takes a while before it ever comes to fruition. And he says this, that you, if you want to bear fruit, you can't bear it unless you're abiding, unless you're connected to the vine. And he said the same thing spiritually. He says, stay connected, remain in him as he is with you. And he says, then you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, spiritually speaking, you can do nothing. And he says, this is what it means to walk in the Spirit of God as a mom who is a follower of Jesus. I love the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, 28. Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest, just like that little baby. Come to me. All you moms, come to me. When you're overwhelmed, I'm gonna let you in on something. You probably know, but most of those moms up there at any given moment are overwhelmed. Jesus says, come. For those of you who have a wayward child who has walked away from their faith, Jesus says, come. For those of you who have a son or a daughter who has struggled with addiction and has wandered away, Jesus says, come. And he says, come to me with all your burdens. And he said, then I will give you rest. That's what it means when he says, remain in me. When you remain in me, when you're in my word, when you begin to be in relationship with me, he says, there you find rest. Then you are able to walk empowered by the Spirit. And many of us today, when you think of your children, you probably don't think the way Proverbs 31, 25 says it. She's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear at the future. When you think of the future, moms, and you think about your children, how many of you are laughing at the future and what your kids are going to have to deal with in the world you're bringing them into? Anyone? I had no takers in the last two services either. But what happens is we forget many times the promises of God because we focus on what's going on around us and the circumstances in front of us. And we forget that God is with us and he is for us and he is victorious. And many times, it's the absence of the acknowledgement that causes fear to creep in over and over and over again. Max Lucado said again, it's not the absence of storms that sets us apart, but whom we discover in its midst. Many of us wouldn't say that fear governs our lives, but think about what keeps you up at night besides the crying baby who won't sleep. And you might not say you're fearful, but when it comes to our kids, and rightly so, we'll do anything we can to protect them and to help them and to save them from whatever bad might come their way. And if we're honest, the more we think about it, the more we try and control it, the more we try and defend against it, we do let fear creep in and take over our faith. And before you know it, some of us are living fully controlled by fear as we're trying to walk in faith. See, fear does not laugh at the days ahead. It doesn't want to even face the days that are ahead. Fear limits our ability to grow in faith and experience God's power in our lives and the lives of our children. But the question is, how do we walk in the storms and trust Jesus? How do we conquer our fear as we live out this faith, especially for our children, when honestly, some of us just feel trapped in our fear or our circumstance because the enemy's convinced you there's no way out? My wife and I have talked about this before, and I think there is a fear that's really just a symptom of a disease. And the disease is called unbelief. You stop trusting God and his provision, his plan, and his power to see you through whatever life has brought across your path. The question is, why do we do that? Because you, many times, are controlled by the disease and not by God. But with this disease, there is hope. And it just comes in four words. And maybe for you, this is where you start. The first is to acknowledge. See, I think we need to call out before God the fear for what it is, and we need to bring it to Jesus because he says, come. That's his invitation to you. The one who says, come, he says, I'm going to tell him, I just have a problem with fear today, God, and I need your help, and I need your strength to overcome it. I acknowledge my need for you, Jesus. The second is, then you confess your sin. Because unbelief is sin, and you need to admit that fear has gotten in your way of seeing and obeying God. It has separated you from trusting in him. And when you confess, guess what happens? You receive. The Bible says you receive forgiveness, which is the treatment for this disease. Then when forgiveness comes in your life, you're in connection with the Heavenly Father, then you experience healing and peace and faith to conquer your fear in that moment. And you acknowledge, you confess, you receive, you experience. The question is, how often do you do this? I just want to tell you, every day. Every moment fear covers your faith, this is your process. Because if you don't do that, guess what happens? Fear creeps in, then fear takes over, and then before you know it, you've lost your faith. Moms, may I remind you today that fear never wrote a symphony or a poem. It never negotiated a peace treaty or cured a disease. Fear never pulled a family out of poverty or a country out of bigotry. Fear never saved a marriage or a business. Faith did that. People who refused to consult or cower to their timidities, they did that. But fear itself, fear herds us into prison and slams the door. Wouldn't it be great to get out? Today you can. And it begins in this moment where you acknowledge, you confess, you receive, and you experience the freedom of Christ. Fear might be part of our lives and grip our situations, but we can't let it fill our hearts and control our lives. 125 times in the gospel, Jesus commands us to fear not. And I think it's time we begin to take him at his word and believe him and to trust him. Remember King Lemuel, he's the writer of this chapter. And his mom gave him these wise counsel, and it said, here's what I want you to do, King, in your position and who you are. I want you to speak up, verse 8 and 9, for those who cannot speak for themselves. That I want you to be a voice for the voiceless. I want you to ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice. My friend, Dr. Beryl D'Souza, is not a king or a queen. But she is a woman who speaks up for those who have no voice. As I've gotten to know her, she is a woman who does not walk in fear, but in the faith of God. She's been standing in the gap for the women of India, and she's become their voice. She is rescuing and empowering and changing India one woman, one girl, one life at a time. She is the mom of three children, and she's away from her kids to be with us today. She's my friend. I'm grateful for her. Would you welcome Dr. Beryl D'Souza to the stage as we have a conversation today? Well, many of you know that Dr. Joseph D'Souza is the head of the Good Shepherd Ministries, and we partner with them as we have built 42 schools in India. We have over 10,000 students in those schools to receive education and hear about Jesus. There's 105 schools or so in the movement with about 25 or 26,000. You are Dr. Joseph D'Souza's daughter, and God has blessed you. You are a doctor of
Pediatrics
and medicine, and you run all the health clinics. They're getting ready. They have plans for a brand new hospital, but she cares for thousands and thousands of women and girls all over India, and God is using you, and so thank you for being here. And I'd love for you to tell us the importance of mothers and women in your country that are being oppressed and the poor and the marginalized and how you serve and minister to them.
Yes, well, it's a great privilege to be here this Sunday morning. Friends Church has been a huge partner of our ministry back in India. And even though we've come a long way and we look at these amazing numbers that God has been able to help us achieve with rescuing girls and women and children, we really believe in the global church and that you've all been part of it. And we wouldn't have been able to get to where we are because of without your partnership. So thank you, Pastor Matthew. Yeah. And before we get into the details of what motherhood looks like in India, I just wanted to share something that was quite astounding for me yesterday when I discovered that Matthew Cork, your dear pastor, a man of God and all of that, I discovered that he had killer instincts when he confessed his sins of wanting to shoot rabbits in his courtyard, which was horrifying. Horrifying for
they're
me because I have
barrel.
Rabbits as pets, so they're my babies, and we're talking about human rights and animal rights and justice, and he's like talking about how to kill the next rabbit he sees. So
now,
I thought you were my friend, and now
here,
I'm really rethinking.
How many rabbits did you have in your home at once, though?
Well, at one point we did have 30 rabbits.
30.
So yeah. we're like a sanctuary for all the animals and people out there. So yes, Pastor Matthew, I would really like you to go back to scripture.
And reconsider.
Yeah, reconsider.
All right, I'll pray about it, Dr. Barrow.
So coming back to women and motherhood in India, there was a young boy asking his mother about how she was able to do this, because mothers, like here as well, always are giving and giving. So he was saying, Mom, you're amazing. You give me whatever I want. You're always pouring out. How is it that you never get tired? You never give up? And so the young mother told her son that it's because love always grows. The more you love, the more love you can give. So even against the background of an oppressive, patriarchal, poverty-challenged society, women in India, the mothers in India, are doing amazing things when they have to look after their children. And I think that's a supernatural power that God has given mothers around the world, and I'm grateful for that.
And God has given you the power of His Spirit in you, and you are combating fear in India with the women that you serve. Tell us how you're helping them walk in faith and maybe share a story about that.
Right. So God has given me and my team the incredible privilege of walking alongside around 200,000 women who are single mothers, particularly affected by the ritualized prostitution system called the Jogini system. It's been close to 2 decades now that we've been walking with them, working in the fields of rescuing, rehabilitation, prevention, advocacies, education, and healthcare. I'd like to share a little story of a woman's and a child's life that really impacted me recently. This is the story of Kamala. Kamala was about 10 years old when she lost her father. Her mother had 2 younger children to look after, and there was no way she could provide for her child. And so she was challenged by the village ladies that this girl be dedicated into the system of the Jogini system to be a ritualized sex worker. Kamala describes the day when she was made a Jogini, when she was celebrated, she was given a beautiful dress, ornamented with flowers, given great food. But in the night, everybody left and her mom was in the next room, and a strange man came in and abused her throughout the night. And as she was screaming and crying out for help, no one came. The next morning, battered, distraught, shocked, she asked her mother, I was calling out for you, where were you? And her mother, with a very straight face, was like, this is your destiny, you are a Jogini, this is what you're born for, this is your life now. Kamala describes that day as the day her life ended, the beginning of the end of her life. Subsequently, she found herself sent away to the brothels of Mumbai to serve in commercial sex work so that she could send in more money back to her mother and to support them. And that happened for the next several years. She found herself pregnant at the age of 13, which resulted in a miscarriage, which she wasn't too bothered about. But then again, at the age of 15, another miscarriage where she felt really bad that what's wrong with me. And then when she was about 20, her mom was not doing well, had an illness and called her back, said, come look after me. Kamala was like, why should I even care for this woman? She's abused me. She never took care of me. The person who was supposed to be my defender has done this to me. But she went back because society determined that she did go back. And so she goes back. She looks after mother. She works hard in the fields doing manual work as well as servicing clients as a jogini and finds herself pregnant again. And this time she delivers a beautiful, healthy little girl. And suddenly her entire life brightens up. It's like she's got a new chance at life again. She adores this beautiful little girl and works really hard to support her. The child is growing beautifully. And one day when the child's about 5 years old, Kamala's out working in the fields and the child is near her village home. She's out in another field where she gets abused and beaten up and left in a pool of blood. And several hours later, when Kamala finds that she's horrified and screams and cries for help, thankfully there were people who were able to come in and help her. And to cut a story short, she was then sent in to our shelter home along with her mother for help and care. When the child came in, she was not able to speak, so she went mute for about 3 months. She was too scared to go to the bathroom because that's when the trauma happened, and so she soiled herself for 3 months. But slowly, with the care and support she got, she recovered. And 7 years later, I was able to witness this little child called Shruti in school. And she's growing well, she's strong, she's healthy, she's smiling and playing and does all of that well. But she's not a good student. She's not seen as, you know, academically smart. And that day, a new child was brought in by the government. Again, another girl who's been a victim of exploitation, never been in school, doesn't know how to read and write. And so this girl is brought in into this classroom. And she's scared and saying, but I don't know about a class. I've never been to school. I don't have any supplies. I don't have a pencil. I don't know anything. And to my surprise and great delight, Kamala's daughter jumps up and she says, come in. You can come sit with me. It's going to be all right. If you don't have stuff, you can take mine. We can do this together. School is going to be great for you. Mm. For me, that was so inspiring. It was a great win. It was like, you know, the whole thing going full circle where this little girl who was a victim of fear, trauma, you know, the most impossible situation had now moved into an area of being the daughter of God, that high level where she was actually showing more love and compassion than most adults I know. And so her story inspires me that this is an amazing journey. It's a difficult journey, but God is walking with these women, and it is a privilege to walk with them.
And as you serve them and care for them, you have about, you should clap for that. Your home right now houses somewhere between 130 and 150 girls that you have rescued, and you're out of room in that home, and it's an amazing place. And when I see these girls stand up and they sing out loud, I'm trading my sorrows for the joy of the Lord, and then they sing, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, with smiles on their faces, knowing what their destiny was and what they have now. It is a miracle. And our church in October, you're going to hear more, but we're going to help build a second home for them, so they can rescue another 150 girls. It is a place where they'll learn about Jesus. They'll have an education. They'll have a home. They'll have a kitchen. They'll have their own bedroom. They'll have a place and a shelter. And in October, we're going to tell you more about that. But we're going to be a part of helping you be a foundational piece to freeing as many girls as you can and saving their lives so that they can go and be moms and share the hope that they have received. So just tell us before you leave, one more thing. You receive this, and there's just a little hello from Beryl. You can just do that QR code and take that home, or they will be outside in the pavilion if you want to talk to them. Leah is here with her. But just anything else you want to say as we close today?
Yes, well, again, thank you all for being part of our journey. And again, invite you, especially those of you who are new, to come and walk alongside with these women, because Number one, Jesus is walking right there with them. And if you want to see, there's nothing more incredible than to see God's hand at work. I mean, that has been one of the main drivers for me why I'm still with this work, is that you get to see Christ in action. And in this world, there's so much of suffering, and around the world, there's, you know, so many things are so messed up, and there are no answers to it as much as we try. But the one thing is true that I have learned, that God is there when suffering is present. And so with these women, with this most impossible situations, God is very well present, and you can see him. And so he is walking with them, and it's just an invitation whether you want to walk alongside with them too.
She will never say this, but she could have been a doctor anywhere. She could have been here. She could have been in India. God has gifted her. And the fact that you choose to serve your people and to share the hope of Christ, we just want to say thank you for your dedication. And it's a privilege having you in our church. Happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Proverbs 31 says this, as we close. Her children, they stand and they bless her. Her husbands, they praise her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Hey, what do you, moms, what do you want your children to say about you when they grow up? I love that line. Her children stand and they bless her. Today, rest of the family, I pray you bless your mom. I wish my mom was here. I just say happy Mother's Day. I love you. Bless them. But what do you want them to say? The writer goes on and says this, charm is deceptive and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. As I was preparing for Mother's Day, our three kids are not going to be home this year, so they're all out. So I asked all my kids if they would send a video to their mom. And I said, I want you to wish her happy Mother's Day, but I also want you to tell her one thing that she did for you or means to you or how she helped change your life. And one of our children, our third child, Ella, sent this in, and I promise you, we hadn't talked at all about what I was talking about today, but it just fit perfectly. And so I asked Ella's permission if I could share this, and she reluctantly said yes, and she was not going to watch on live stream. So I would love for you just to listen to my daughter, Ella, share to her mom what she means to her on Mother's Day.
I think I realize a lot more of just how much you impacted my life and continue to, and I know that because of how hard it is to not still be home and to live far away from you. I just realize all the things that I didn't necessarily understand when I was still at home, and I think I've learned so much from you, but the most important is just a daily reliance on the Lord and the importance of spending time in his word and with him. And you've not only told me that, but shown me that in your life. And that's something that I've carried with me to college and life now, and something that I'm so grateful for, because I learned that fully from you and from your example, and just how putting him first is always the best way to go about anything, and just your lack of fear of the future because of your full reliance on the Lord that starts with your morning routine and your daily surrender to him. And that's just something I admire so much about you, Mom, and something that I hope I get better at and continue to work to do in my life, and also to share with those around me. Love you, miss you, excited to see you on Tuesday. Bye.
Your lack of fear for the future because of your daily routine and you surrender to God every day. I don't know what Maddie wanted said about her, but I think that's pretty great. ladies, to walk in the fear of the Lord and to put him first in everything is the foundation for a godly, honoring, faithful life. May you walk in that. May you remember today that you were empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what you were called to do. Fear does not have a grip on you. And when the enemy tries to tell you it does, acknowledge that fear, confess it, receive forgiveness, and experience the goodness of God. I pray today you will be refreshed, that your families care for you and love on you. Because when you are whole and living empowered by the Spirit, the home, the church, relationships, our world, it's just better. So happy Mother's Day. And may God bless you and keep you. And I would love for everyone to stand. And I'm going to pray this prayer over you as we close today. Would you bow your heads with me? Moms, may you be clothed with strength and dignity as you walk empowered by the Spirit. May you laugh at the future because fear does not control you and fear does not keep you from believing God is for you and he holds the future that is unknown to you. May God's word fill your soul so that you come forth from your mouth and what comes forth from that mouth is full of wisdom and love and kindness. May you steward all that God has given you under your care. And may you serve him and your family with spiritual fervor so that one day your family will stand and will bless you. May your beauty be reflected from the inside out. May you bear much fruit as you remain connected to Jesus. May you be praised as you walk with him and may your identity be found in him and him alone. Moms, we thank our God for you and we give thanks and honor today to you. And we stand publicly to declare your praise as a daughter of the Most High God, that you are chosen, you are accepted, and you are a child of the King. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen.